Hello, everyone.
Hi, this is Catherine Resendez, and you're listening to The Sword and Shield Show. My guests tonight will be Jeannie Matrenga and Shirley Metz, educators from Calvary Chapel Christian School in Downey, California. We will be talking about some of the problems in education today for the Christian family. But let's start now with one of my favorite scripture verses, which I like to quote at the beginning of the show. This is in Hebrews 4:16. And that says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Today, Christian parents are really having a great time of need. Choosing schools, there are many concerns about curriculum, core values, our Christian beliefs, and today's culture in and outside of the schools. And so I'm very pleased that these ladies will be able to address some of the issues that they are really concerned about for their own students, their own families, and those around us. I hope you'll tune in for the rest of the show. Again, this is The Sword and Shield Show. We will be on every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m., and I hope you'll invite other people to listen if you like the show and think that we have something of value to share. We will also be sharing the gospel message. Each week on the show, we'll share at least one chapter of the gospel verbatim, and I'm using the New King James Version of the Bible. So I hope you'll listen in and read along with us. If you don't have a Bible, I hope you'll listen. Again, I hope you'll invite others to listen in to the show. Again, my guests are going to be Jeannie Matrenga and Shirley Metz, and they'll be calling in later. I did this show sometime in the past and decided to discontinue it for a later time. And we will be making some changes in the show in the future where we will invite people, invite listeners in the audience to call in with their prayer requests. And we will have many volunteers who are willing to pray for all of your concerns, all of the issues that you're dealing with in life. We want to pray for all of our children, not just our own, but all the children of the world, because they are the next generations that are coming up. They are the ones who are going to be leading and ruling in the world. We want to pray for all of our teachers, all the educators, and all of those people in authority over us and our children and grandchildren for our own concerns, and also because the Lord expects us to do that. The Lord has given each of us a calling in life, and parents have a very special calling in leading and educating and giving good examples to their children and grandchildren. And the Lord will hold us accountable for how we raise them, what we teach them, and how we lead them in life. And we need to help them discover their gifts and talents, their skills, and find out what they are good at and encourage them to pursue those things that they are good in doing, the good things that will glorify the Lord. So, of course, that plays a huge role in education. And it's very important that the parents are able to maintain their control over what their children learn, what they're being taught outside the home. The Lord gives us the commission to teach and train, raise our children, and to be a good example to them. And of course, if you feel like you didn't have any parenting skills, you're not alone, because I felt that I didn't have any. And I wish now that I had known so much more when my children were young. And I felt at a loss many times. And looking back, I see that I made many mistakes. I suppose I did the best that I knew how to do at the time. I wish I had done much better. But every day, the Lord gives us a new chance. The Lord tells us in the Bible, in His Word, that every day, tender mercies are fresh and new. the grace and tender mercies of the Lord are fresh and new every morning. And so we need to encourage ourselves and our children and our grandchildren and others around us with that important information. We need to continually follow the Lord's leading, because he does lead us. The Lord has many ways to speak to us, and he can speak to each and every one of us in a different way. We can develop our personal, intimate relationship with him by reading his word, Bible, the Holy Scriptures. That is the word of God directly to us. We as Christians believe that the Bible is absolutely the word of God, and there are no errors in it, even though many tell us that there's a great deal of contradiction in it. Normally, they can't explain what they're referring to. They cannot give concrete examples or specific examples of what they consider to be contradictions. And the Bible explains itself. There are many references from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And so it proves itself. And the Lord tells us that Scripture is good for teaching as well, for teaching as well as correcting. And I'm sure that the ladies, Jeannie and Shirley, will make some reference to that in their discussions, addressing their concerns for their children, their own children, and for those that they teach. They are going to address some issues regarding home education pluses, the good things about home education, the pros there. And they will share their personal testimonies also. I'm sure that's going to be very interesting. Undoubtedly, they will tell us how they came to be teachers, what led them to that, how they learned what their calling in life is to be or was to be at that time. They will be calling into the show to share these concerns with whoever is listening. Many of you, I hope there are many people listening who can benefit from what we're going to share. And you probably share many of the same concerns. If you have, whether you have children who are in public schools, Christian schools, or you're homeschooling your children, you undoubtedly have many of the same concerns. You may be coming up against the same problems. And I wonder if you, who do you address your concerns to? There are many schools today that students can choose to attend before going on to college. For example, there are ROP trade schools. There are many classes there that students can participate in. And there are student job opportunities. There are families who may travel continually and benefit from online classes. So many concerns that can be addressed, including for students who are in need of medical attention. That sort of thing comes into play also. I want to let you know that we have some information that may be helpful to many people. If you know anyone who is in need of housing, medical care, food, please let them know that there is a 3-digit number that they can dial in the LA County area, and that's 211. Again, that's 211. For people who are in need of food, shelter, and clothing or medical assistance, if you know anyone who's having a problem with substance abuse or anyone who is a victim or a survivor of domestic violence, information for all of these issues can be obtained by dialing the 211 number, which is the emergency number for LA County. That's 211. I want to let you know also about a special project called the National School Project. This is special ministry reaching out to students in school. One of our local missionaries, Jonathan Maestas, is involved in this project. If you would like to support them and reaching out to children, the National School Project, you can please check out their website, which is thenationalschoolproject.com. There's an email address, which is info@nationalschoolproject.com. The phone number is 562-943-9787. Once again, that's 562-943-9787. If you would like to contribute to the mission field, whether you want to be a missionary or not, there are so many ways you can help, not only with donations, financial donations, of course, but you can help by praying for the missionaries, their families, and the people they are ministering to. We have missionaries serving all over the world. And you can get information regarding missionaries in your area by visiting your local church. Missionaries are supported by other people. Normally, we look to support the missionaries who are supported by our own churches. But of course, if you would like to contribute to help missionaries in other areas, that help would certainly be greatly appreciated. I want to let you know again that this show will be airing live on Thursdays, every Thursday, from 7 to 8 p.m. Again, it's called The Sword and Shield Show. And this is a show in which we want to help promote the gospel message, to do our part to help spread the gospel message to all the ends of the earth as the Lord gave us commission. That commission is for each and every one of us who are followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to read the gospel message directly from the Bible so that we are not misinterpreting it, so that we're not changing anything. We want to be correct in speaking the word of God. And so I hope that if you are not familiar, if you have not been in the habit of reading the Bible, if you have not been introduced to it, I want to let you know that the first step in understanding the Bible is to receive Christ Jesus as Savior, to ask Christ Jesus to be your personal Savior. And the way to do that is to confess our sins, because we are all sinners, every one of us. And the Lord says that He forgives us all of our sins. All we have to do is ask, confess our sins and repent of them and be willing to make a change. Repentance is the act of doing that, turning away from our old ways and allowing the Lord to change us from the inside out, because we're not able to do that on our own. If we believe by faith that Jesus Christ is Lord for our sins, He tells us to trust by faith, just as we trust in so many other things in life. And one simple example is of faith is sitting on a chair without being concerned that the chair is going to break, that it won't fall apart beneath us. We believe that the chair is strong enough, will hold our weight, and so we're so accustomed to that, we never give it a second thought. Unless, of course, we know that the chair has been damaged. Turning a key in the ignition in a car and expecting it to to start without a problem. We have faith in those things. The Lord asks us to have faith, to trust by faith that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he's all-powerful, that he died on the cross to pay the debt for our sins, and that he rose again from the dead by his resurrection. He gives us the hope and assurance of eternal life with him in heaven, that we will be resurrected also and spend eternity with him. He gave us the right to be children of God. He redeemed us. And so, in our salvation, which we receive by faith, we become children of the living God. And we become inheritors of the kingdom of God along with Christ Jesus, our Savior. He tells us we no longer need to fear, we no longer need to give in to sin, to the temptations to sin, because he gives us a way out. That with every temptation, he gives us a way of escape. We need to make the decision to take it. We have a choice. Because he's given us free will. We have a choice to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, to live according to his word, and to teach our children to do the same. He gives us instructions throughout the Bible for that. One of the chapters in which he talks a great deal about teaches us a great deal about the family is in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. Thing we need to know to live a godly life, a life of righteousness according to the Lord, is in his word, in the Bible. So when we send our children to school, it's not only to learn to read and write, not only learning reading, writing, and arithmetic or mathematics, but we also send them to learn in the Christian families and Christian schools. We send them to continue learning the Word of God and God's principles, but we are supposed to begin teaching them that at home. We are to be the first teachers of our own children. We need to give great consideration to the fact that if we send our children to schools where they're being taught things that are contrary to what we teach them at home, we lose a great deal of control. Our children are very vulnerable. And it's very easy for them to be influenced by other people who are teaching other beliefs, other doctrines, contrary to the doctrines, the teachings of the Lord Jesus Christ. So we need to be very careful of that. We are having some trouble here, some technical trouble. My guests apparently have not been able to call in. But I'm going to continue on with the show. And if they're not able to call in tonight, perhaps they can be available to be on the show again another time when they can address all these concerns that they have for the children that they teach and for the changes that are happening in the educational scene now, the new laws, things that will affect our children and affect the teachers and what they are able to teach. And what they're being told that they can or cannot teach. And the different options that are available to them. And where they can go to address their concerns. They want to share all of that information with you. I'd like to read for you something from from the Word of God about the children, about what we are to do, about the family. And I encourage you, if you have a Bible, if you are a Christian, to read along. If you have never received Christ Jesus as your Savior, to do that. I encourage you to listen. Seek out the Lord. If you think you're not ready, if you think you don't know the truth, if you're seeking the truth, that's a good start. You need to seek after God. Speak to Him directly. Ask Him to show you the truth. If you do have a Bible, I hope you'll open it. And a good place to start right now, only because this is what I'm going to be discussing tonight, in the book of Ephesians. If you have never read the Bible before, a great place to start is in the Gospels, and especially where the letters are to the churches, and 1 John. That's a great place to start. But right now, I'm going to read something from Ephesians. And I'll wait just a minute longer in case you have a Bible and you can open it up and read along with me. If you know someone else who you would like to hear this information, I hope you'll call them up and ask them to listen in. There is so much information in the Bible that you would never think you would find in the Bible. And why? Because it's the Word of God, and He knows everything. He knows everything that we need, and He has a plan for each one of our lives. He addresses that here in so many ways. Right now, I'm just going to read one particular part. And I'm going to start here in chapter 6. At verse 1. But before that, I'll start, let's see, with the very last chapter, the very last verse of Ephesians chapter 5. This is Ephesians chapter 5, verse 33, which says, "Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband." And now whenever it says nevertheless, it's referring to the previous verses. So we should always go back and read what was there before. And every single word is very important. So I like to read an entire chapter so that I don't take anything out of context. That's very important. When we're reading the Bible, we need to consider who did the writing, who that person was writing to, and what was the culture at the time. There's so much that goes into that to understanding it. But number one is to receive Jesus Christ as Savior by faith. When we confess our sins and repent of them and ask the Lord Jesus to be our personal Lord and Savior and Master of our lives, He sends His Holy Spirit to live in our hearts. And He lives out the Christian life through us. We need to cooperate with Him. And so then He helps us to understand, because He told us, Jesus told us, when He returned to heaven, that He would send another, a comforter, to help us, and that He would be our teacher and our guide. It's the Holy Spirit who helps us understand the Word of God. And we need to be careful to apply it appropriately to our daily lives, because there are other voices that speak to us. For example, the voice of our own selfish human nature, always with us in the world, and is waiting for us to turn and come to Him, come to the Lord, to seek the Lord. And He's there waiting for us. The Lord tells us in the Bible that no one, Jesus tells us, that no one can come to the Father except through the Son, that Jesus is the only way. Contrary to what many people tell us today, that there can't be only one way to God, there can't be only be one way to heaven. Well, why not? God is the Creator. He created the entire world, the entire universe. And who knows if there are other universes? The Lord God, Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He is the God that we Christians follow, the triune God, God the Father Almighty, Christ Jesus, His only begotten Son, who is our Savior, who died for us and rose again from the dead. And dying, He paid the debt for our sins, but in rising, he gave us the hope and assurance of eternal life with him in the kingdom of heaven forever. So, again, his word is here to help us and to teach us. We need to have his Holy Spirit in order to understand it. So now I'm going to continue here in Ephesians chapter 6, because the Lord gives us instructions for life here in his word. I want to read some of this for you. First, we should always ask the Lord to help us understand his holy scriptures and to apply it appropriately to our daily lives. So I pray, Lord, not to be influenced by the voice of Satan and his evil minions, by the voices of the world and the philosophies of men, or by our own selfish human nature, because selfishness and sinfulness come naturally toward us. That's the nature of man. But thank you, Lord Jesus, that when we receive you as Savior, that you redeem us. Thank you for giving us salvation, and thank you for helping us understand your word. And so now, Lord, we give you thanks and praise for your holy scriptures. Help us to understand it, please, and apply it to our daily lives. Here in Ephesians chapter 6, it begins in verse 1, saying, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, that with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart as to Christ, not with eye service, as man-pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. And you, masters, do the same thing to them, giving up threatening, knowing that your own master also is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, and faithful minister in the Lord, but that you also may know my affairs and how I am doing, Tychicus, a beloved brother and faithful minister in the Lord, will make all things known to you, whom I have sent to you for this very purpose, that you may know our affairs and that he may comfort your hearts. Peace to the brethren and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be with all those who love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Amen." Now that was written by Paul. And Paul was originally known as Saul. And if you didn't already know, for anyone who's listening who didn't know, Saul originally persecuted Christians, and he stood by and watched as the first martyr was killed, a follower of Jesus Christ. Because you see, Paul didn't believe in the Lord. He was just absolutely devoted to getting rid of Christians. And he thought he was doing the right thing. So once the Lord confronted him, once the Lord got his attention, he actually confronted him on the road to Damascus and blinded him to get his attention, left him blind for 3 days. But that is how, that was his account, his encounter, his first encounter with the Lord, and that's how he came to know the Lord. He repented of his sins and realized that he'd been on the wrong side. He'd been going the wrong direction. So he made a complete turnabout, and he began to follow the Lord. And so he was just as dedicated to following the Lord Jesus, to following God Almighty, as he had been in his Judaism, in his original beliefs. And so he became totally dedicated to serving God and teaching others that the God of these Christians, as they became known, was the one and only true living God. And the Lord gave him a different calling from Peter, Andrew, and James, and the rest of the disciples, or the apostles. The Lord used Paul, changed his name from Saul to Paul, and gave him the commission to take the good news of the gospel, the message of God, to the Gentiles. And today, we are the Gentiles. And so you see, the Lord tells us here how husbands and wives should treat each other, to children, telling them to obey their parents. Now, we are all to obey authority, unless that authority encourages us or demands us to compromise our religious, our Christian beliefs, and to, unless it contradicts the Word of God. We can't serve both. We're told in the Bible we must serve God rather than man. We need to always doing that. And it isn't easy. It isn't easy at all. Many times here we hear today that many good people who lived in the past have been now declared to be saints. But here in the Word of God, he tells us that we are all saints who follow the Lord Jesus Christ. We are all given that title. Followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not people who just believe that Jesus Christ lived. Many people believe that Jesus Christ existed, but they don't follow him as Lord and Savior, as the one and only true living God. But again, when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, accept him as our Lord, and dedicate ourselves to following him, to live according to his rules, his principles, his doctrine, when we choose to follow his way, because he is the only way to the Father and the only way to heaven, then we are called saints, all of us, and we are children of the living God. So we need to follow his rules. And many people think that, oh, why should I follow a God who's mean and cruel? Because they think that God is mean and cruel because they say that, well, he destroyed so many people in biblical times. But anyone who was destroyed by the will of God was destroyed because they were wicked and evil, and the Lord did away with them to protect his children. Because those wicked and evil people were abusing and killing, destroying, and contaminating his children, so he protected them. And God is always here to protect us. He provides for us for everything we need. He doesn't give us always give us everything that we want, but he does give us everything that we need. And he says, his word tells us that we should be satisfied with the necessities of life. We have food and shelter and clothing. Of course, he gives us so much more. And he also tells us to come to him and ask for what we need, even though he already knows what we need before we do. And many times, we don't even know what to ask for. But the Holy Spirit intercedes. Jesus intercedes for us, but the Holy Spirit can pray for us to the Lord when we don't even know how to pray, or we are so distraught or in such despair that we can't put two words together to pray. The Holy Spirit prays for us. You see, everything we, all the issues that we can encounter, that we encounter in life, the Lord addresses in the Bible. Again, in general terms, of course. And he speaks to us when we speak to him and wait on him. We need to develop a relationship with him, of course, in order to hear his voice. And he's given us his word, which he says we should seek him. And in many scriptures, he tells us that when we cry out to him, he will hear us and answer us. He even says, and I have done this myself, he says, when you cry out to me in a loud voice, I will hear and answer you. And I can tell you that there have been a number of times in my life, and two of them were in the midst of an accident. One was a terrible car accident where I was injured, and I lost control of the car. And I called out to him and said, Lord Jesus, I need you now. Help me. And he did. I found myself running into, off the freeway, and into an embankment of soft dirt. And that was the only place along the freeway where there was a mound of soft dirt which stopped the car. And if it hadn't been there, I would have been injured much more severely or even killed, because I would have wound up in the oncoming traffic. I went off the freeway, down into a ditch, up the other side, and my car stopped at that embankment of soft dirt just before I would have entered oncoming traffic on the other side of the freeway, out in the desert. There have been so many things like that that have happened to me where I know that the Lord saved me. It was only by the grace of God. And there have been many times in my life when the Lord has spoken to me. I know that many people think that Christians are weird or that we're crazy because we say that the Lord speaks to us. But the Lord does speak to us. He does answer us. If you will develop the habit of reading the Bible, if you will call on the Lord Jesus, ask him to show you truth and search for him in the Bible, reading his word and listening for him to speak to you, eventually he will. You will learn to hear the voice of God. And as I say, there are many ways that the Lord will speak to me. I'm not talking about an audible voice as you hear me speaking now. You will find reading the scriptures with an open mind, like an innocent child. You will come to know the Lord. You will develop a personal, intimate relationship with him. And the more you read, the more you will want to read when you begin to hear from the Lord, because it will be so, oh my goodness, I don't know how to describe it. It's amazing. God is amazing. God is awesome. We don't have words to describe how good he is, how wonderful he is. And God is faithful even when we are not faithful, even when we have no faith, even when we are full of doubt. God is always faithful, and he's always good, always. He loves us unconditionally. Many times we suffer because we make wrong choices in life, and I will tell you that I have done that too often. So many times we ask, why am I suffering like this? If there's a God and if he's good, why does he let me suffer like this? But we have to stop and think that probably most of the time when we're suffering, it's because we made wrong choices, because we made wrong decisions, or because we thought, well, I'm not going to do anything, not realizing that in not doing anything, we chose. We made a choice by not doing anything. We chose not to do anything. We suffer for our own choices, for our own frailties, our own weaknesses. And when we try to do things on our own without consulting God, many times we do things that are just absolutely contrary to his will. And it would be so easy if we would stop and ask, Lord, is this your will? What is your will for me in this? When things go wrong, we need to, instead of being angry with God, we need to ask him, as I've heard so many pastors say, this is not my thinking. I've been told this many times because I've made wrong choices and suffered for them. We need to ask him, Lord, why did this happen to me? But we need to follow that with saying, what is it you want me to learn from this situation or from this circumstance? What have I done wrong? Show me what it is I need to do now, Lord. What is the next step? What do I need to do so that I don't, what do I need to change? What adjustments do I need to make in my attitude, in my actions, in my thinking, so that I don't wind up making the same mistake again and fall back into the same situation, so that we can learn and grow from our failures and advance in life and move up to a higher level and of our relationship with the Lord, in our walk with him, in our spiritual walk, as we call it, and become more mature and grow in our faith. Many times when we see how the Lord takes us through situations, because he doesn't always just end the suffering. You've heard that many times, probably, if you are a Christian already. So many times we're being tested by the things that happen to us. Many times we're being attacked by Satan, by evil. God is in control of everything, and he allows it for his purposes. And he can use things that go wrong in our lives to bring good from them in the future, good for us and for others around us. And many times we don't see that until we're past or through it, until the problems have subsided, until we come up out of the valley onto a mountaintop, as they say, or at least to higher ground, when we can take a deep breath because our burdens are a little lighter. The Lord has brought us through them. And as they say, hindsight is 20/20. So many times things are clearer gone through the problems. And the Lord uses that to equip us to help other people. As he tells us in his word that we can comfort other people. We should comfort other people as God himself comforts us. So whatever we suffer in life, if we live through it, is a special, so that when we meet someone else who is, we can clearly see who is going through the same thing that we have suffered through in the past, we can come alongside them and help them. And in that way, also, we can use the spiritual gifts that the Lord gives us. Because when we are saved, when we become born again, when we repent, when we confess and repent of our sins and ask Jesus to be our Lord and Savior, we are born again in the Spirit. And at that moment, the Lord gives each of us a spiritual gift or some spiritual gifts. We don't always realize what those are. Not right away, but other people can see them in us. They can see changes that the Lord makes in us. They can see the difference in us that comes about by knowing that Jesus is our Savior and that we have been redeemed, that he's forgiven us of our sins and gives us a new chance in life. And so other people, once we spend time with other people who are Christians, who are following the Lord, those people who are truly serving him, they are able to see those gifts in us that we may not realize ourselves, and they can tell us, you have this gift, or you have that gift. You are good at doing this. You do this, which glorifies God. You should develop that gift, that talent, and use it to serve the Lord. Because the gifts he gives us when we are born again, when we are saved, those gifts are not for us. They are to use to serve God by serving other people around us in church and outside of church. Because we are to bring the good news of the gospel, the good example, a good testimony to other people outside of church, those people who are not walking with the Lord, and not to be judgmental or criticizing them, but showing them that we are loving and caring and giving. By having relationships with them, we don't have to join in their bad behavior or be influenced. We are not to allow ourselves to be influenced by their ways, their habits that are contrary to the will of God. But we can share with them, be good to them, be a friend, be a helpful friend, lend a helping hand, and an encourager. Be there when they need someone to walk, come alongside them. And in time, after we've developed a relationship with them, then we might have a chance to share the word of God with them, and they may be willing to listen because of the way we have treated them. We are to treat others as we would like to be treated. Sometimes that is very difficult, but we need to make the effort. And you see, all of these things the Lord addresses in his word, in the Bible. So we need to read it every day to know what it says. If we don't know what the Bible says, how will we know if someone misquotes it, if someone tells us a different, if someone is preaching a different doctrine, a different gospel message, something that is false, that is not in line with the word of God? How will we know if we don't read it ourselves? So we need to know it. We don't have to memorize every single word of the Bible, but we need to know what it says. And when we read and study and meditate on it, and meditating on it means studying it, reading it, and asking, because we have the Holy Spirit of the Lord living in us, the Spirit of God communicates with us, we can ask, what does this mean, Lord? How do you want me to apply that to my life today? When we speak to the Lord and seek him, he will respond to us. So we need to make a habit of doing that. Praying is great. We need to do that. We need to pray to the Lord. Often we can pray to him throughout the day, but we need to read his word as well. He tells us, we need to know his word. We need to read it. He speaks to us in his word, in the Bible. You will really find, you will discover that for yourself if you do. And so, our time is almost up, and I'm very sorry that my guests, Jeannie Matranga and Shirley Metz, who are educators at Calvary Chapel Christian School in Downey, California, were not able to connect and to be on the show with me tonight, and I hope they will be available again. I want to thank them for their intentions to be on, for the work that they've done in preparing and for praying for the show. And I will make sure that if they're available again, that we won't have a problem next time, and that they will be able to participate. And I apologize to them as well as to anyone listening for the for the problem that we encounter tonight. And again, this is the Sword and Shield Show, and we will have a guest or two every week. And so I will be posting the shows in advance so that anyone who cares to listen can know who's going to be on, what the topics will be, and you can join in. And so, again, I will be reading a chapter from the Bible every week, and we'll have a topic, interesting topics. We have other educators who will be on. Of course, I will still be interviewing missionaries, as I did in the beginning, and chaplains and other pastors, of course. We have a missionary and his wife who have just recently returned from from their assignment of 18 years in Germany. They will be on the show. The pastor has shared with me that he has many topics he would like to talk about, and so he will be on a number of times. We also have a Christian counselor who is a licensed marriage and family therapist. He's also an author and a pastor as well. He will be on. And so there are many others who want to be on the show to share with you, share information. And we will also have a prayer line. We will be inviting people to call in with their prayer requests. And we have many people who have already agreed to be prayer warriors, to pray over your prayer requests for 7 days at a time, for each prayer request. And we want to encourage everyone to pray for our children, not only your own, not only our own children, but those of others around us, for all the children of the world, and pray for our leaders, for our country, for all of those who are in authority over us, the first responders, the police officers, and the firemen, all of the lawmakers, all of the law enforcers, all of those who have any influence over our children, all of them. And of course, again, for all of those who are making the laws in our country, all of those who are enforcing them, all of those who are fighting for our rights, attorneys and everyone else who are fighting for the rights of not only Christians, but all citizens, for all of those who are protecting and defending us. Pray for all of the orphans and the widows of the world, all of those who are sick, for the infirmed, all of those who are helpless. Again, we want to give special attention to the educators as well as the children. And I encourage you to pray for all of our teachers, all of the educators, all of those who give up themselves to teach and influence and love our children and encourage them, to help them grow up, to be the men and women that the Lord intended them to be. All of those who influence them and help them discover what their gifts and talents are and encourage them to be in the Word, to stay in the Word, to practice the Word of God, to do what it says. The Lord has told us so many times in the scriptures to teach our children the word of God, raise them up to know and love and serve him. The Lord says that he has a plan and a purpose for each one of our lives. If we don't know what it is, many times we know since we were very young. I know some people who have told me that they knew since they were, well, one in particular young lady told me that she always knew since she was 3 years old that she wanted to be a doctor. And she actually did grow up and become a doctor. I've heard many other people say things like that, that they knew since they were very little what they wanted to be when they grew up. Many times little boys want to follow in their father's footsteps. Many little girls want to follow in their mother's footsteps. I've known several women who said that ever since they were little girls, they wanted to be a mommy. They wanted to grow up and be married and have lots of babies and take care of their babies. But God chose us. He puts in our hearts, in our spirits, what he wants us to be and to do. Many, many times it may be frightening. Many times it may just overwhelm us with joy because we're so happy doing what he calls us to do. But so in any case, children, the Word of God, we have to make God a priority in our lives and in the lives of our children. And no matter what we say, they're going to do what they see us doing. They're going to follow our examples. We have just a minute or two left. And so I want to invite anyone who's listening who has not received Jesus Christ as Savior. I invite you to say this prayer with me. It's very simple. You receive Jesus Christ by faith. So if you choose, would you follow me? Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. I believe by faith that you died on the cross and paid the debt for my sins, and that your blood, the blood of Christ Jesus, washes me clean and gives me new life. I believe that you rose again from the dead and that you are in heaven at the right hand of God, and I want to be with you in heaven. I repent of my sins and ask you to forgive me, and I receive you, Lord Jesus, as Savior. Now, the next thing you should do is join a church that teaches the Word of God directly from the Bible. Join other people who are studying the Word of God and read the Bible and do what it says and pray to the Lord from your heart. And please tell others what you have done and tell them how they can receive the Lord. And until next time, I pray that you will come to know the love, the peace, and the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you join us again on the Sword and Shield Show. And I'm looking forward to having Jeannie Matranga and Shirley Metz from Calvary Chapel Christian School in Downey on the show, either on the next week or perhaps the one after. So please join us again on the Sword and Shield Show, and may the Lord bless you and all your family. Have a great and blessed evening. Please do tell other people about the Sword and Shield Show so that they can listen in. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. And I hope you'll listen in again to hear the Word of God and to hear some fun stories also in the future and to enjoy laughter and cheerfulness with us as we bring you the Word of God. Thank you so much for listening in. Again, this is the Sword and Shield Show, and I'm Catherine Resendez. I hope you have a wonderful, blessed night. Thank you.